All my life has been a series of doors in my face, and then suddenly I bump into you.
I was thinking the same thing, because like, I've been searching my whole life to find my own place. And maybe it's the party talking or the chocolate fondue.
But with you,
I found my place.
I see your face, and it's nothing like I've ever known before. Love is an open door. Love is an open door.
Welcome to the Disney Magic Podcast. I'm Joel.
And I'm Megan.
We like to talk about Disney things. Specifically this week, we're going to be talking about Frozen.
Frozen!
The brand new coldest movie ever.
What was the old coldest movie ever?
Ice Age?
Day After Tomorrow?
Something like that, I don't know.
Something else cold.
Alright, so Frozen came out, premiered November 19th, 2013, and officially came out for the masses November 27th, 2013.
That seems like a long time ago now.
Mm-hmm. And then it proceeded to make all of the money.
All of it.
Quadzillions of dollars.
No one on planet Earth has any money anymore. Frozen took all of it.
Well, so technically, as we're recording this, Frozen is still making money.
Yep.
It probably won't be breaking any more records, because the only records left to break are like the very top. Ridiculous Ones. Frozen was the second highest grossing movie of 2013,
mm-hmm.
after, I think, Iron Man 3, mm-hmm. which also was a Disney movie. So Disney did good.
For last year, really.
And I think it's the second highest grossing animated movie of all time, after, I think, Shrek 2. So.
Really? Shrek 2?
Shrek 2 got a ridiculous amount of money.
Weird.
So, but it beat Lion King. That was the big deal, is it beat Lion King, which was their long-standing big thing. Some stuff about Frozen, like pretty much every movie that we get to talk about, went into production in like the 40s.
Yep. Remember once upon a time, like 60 years ago, when we thought it would be a good idea to make this movie?
I just think...
Now everyone who tried to work on it initially is dead, so we're gonna have to start over.
I think Walt Disney might as well have, like, just gone to the library and been like, this is in production now.
There's, like, a bookshelf at Walt Disney Studios, and it's just, like, an entire fairy tale section of a library.
Well, I mean, it feels like everything we've talked about, we're like, actually, Walt Disney wanted to make one of these.
Yeah, basically.
So Walt Disney actually had a talk about collaborating with Samuel Goldwyn in the 40s about making a biography of Hans Christian Andersen.
He had a weird life.
Where Samuel Goldwyn would make the biography, and then Walt Disney would animate the fairy tales as it moved into it.
That's pretty cool.
Which would have been all nice and cool, and didn't happen.
Nope.
And so, basically, Goldwyn went on to eventually make There Is a Live Action Film in 1952. Danny Kaye plays Hans Christian Andersen.
I've not seen that, and so, Danny Kaye's like my favorite, I know. So and that's cool.
That was the movie that came out of this idea. Yeah. But this idea fell apart the way all these ideas fall apart.
Every single time.
Because the Snow Queen is not a character that they could figure out how to depict.
Yep.
And I don't know the Snow Queen too terribly well. Like the original Hans Christian Andersen.
I read a couple of adaptations as a kid, and when the movie was, maybe not first announced, but when the trailer started coming out, I was like, this doesn't look like the Snow Queen. So I went back and read it. It's a very different story.
Yeah.
Like, the Snow Queen is just plain evil, and she kidnaps her sister, and there's a dude, but he's not really that important, and it's a very, very different story.
So again, Frozen isn't really the Snow Queen. It's like, Tangled isn't really Rapunzel. It's got the right name of the character.
I think Tangled is closer to Rapunzel than Frozen is to Snow Queen, though.
Yeah. So, well, they went on. There was a 1990s adaptation, or attempt at an adaptation with Glenn Keane. He quit. And then Harvey Fierstein pitched the project, and he got turned down. And so I'm not going to go through every name on this list.
Pretty much everyone at Disney wanted to make this movie.
Everybody wanted to make this movie at some point. And it eventually got kind of kickstarted into the Frozen movie that we have today after Tangled, and right around that time, that 2011-ish time. And so, and that's where the Frozen concept came from. Now, there was also, even this Frozen concept was still, like, had a whole mess of
other difficulties stuff happening.
Yeah. And so, you can actually, if you go get the deluxe soundtrack, with the two discs and all the demos and karaoke tracks and everything, they have songs that they wrote that didn't get in the movie because the plot changed. But Robert Lopez and Christian Anton Lopez, who were the songwriters on this movie, talk about, this is what this song was supposed to do. And so, apparently there was initially a prophecy made by some trolls about an evil queen who would freeze the land. This is where the trolls come in. We'll get to the trolls later in the movie.
Oh, trolls.
But there's trolls in there for no reason, and this is why. Because they were initially in the movie.
Because they needed a prophecy?
Because the trolls made the prophecy, and so there was a song called Spring Pageant that was like a little play, schoolhouse play, that the girls were in that was detailing the prophecy.
Oh, that's messed up.
That eventually became them.
Is little tiny Elsa gonna have to sing about how queens are evil? Kind of awkward.
Yeah.
Their mom gonna go watch it? there's so much awkwardness. Oh, I'm glad they cut that out. That's weird.
It didn't happen, clearly. There's also a lot of stuff about Anna being seen as a spare, and like more than just a spare, which are coming into the super song. The song was like the air and the spare, because it rhymed.
That's terrible. I mean, that's also like terrible rhyming, but it just sounds so sad.
Well, it's supposed to be sad. It's the beginning of the movie.
I know.
Like, actual Frozen wasn't sad?
I mean, yeah, it was sad, but like, it's a little depressing to take one of the characters you're going to heavily market and be like, this one doesn't matter so much. Oh, God.
That was the point, was she didn't matter.
I know,
and then she
I
learned
know.
That she mattered in her own way. I mean, I'm assuming. We didn't actually see that.
Maybe they just killed her and sacrificed
it. It might have been a dark film. Like, yo, actually, this isn't an important character.
I don't know. This is just like, it's a weird concept to set up in the first place in a children's movie.
I am sure we could think of a children's movie that's totally happened.
But probably, yeah.
So.
But doesn't make it less weird.
But... Oh, by the way, yeah, Robert Lopez, Christian Anderson Lopez, is a husband and wife songwriting team who wrote these songs. They also wrote Book of Mormon. Or at least Robert Lopez, he wrote Avenue Q and Book of Mormon.
Yeah, that's right. He just recently finished the, like, 4-award trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Trifecta.
Yeah, the
Quad.
EGOT. Yeah, I think he does have an EGOT now.
Yeah, because he just won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm. So
congratulations to him.
Yeah. They also worked on Winnie the Pooh before this.
Oh, the most recent one?
Mm-hmm.
So it would be the other one. They did that when they were like 12, right?
No, I know it sounds like the Sherman Brothers, but it's actually not.
Okay. Oh, I like the music in that movie. Okay.
Yeah, no. So they do have some like Disney stuff too, to their credit.
That's great.
It's not just Avenue Q before this started. So yeah, and so there's a lot of stuff about the making of the movie, and there's not so much as what we can always talk about because DVD features and legacy retrospective lookbacks haven't been invented yet.
Yeah,
because the movie's not that old yet. but they do talk about they went to Norway to make the movie.
To
research making the movie.
Majestic Norway.
Basically, they're like, the things we came back from here is giant rock formations.
Yeah.
And those are in the movie.
Shorts.
Yep. Roofs that are slanty.
Yeah.
And those are in the movie. And the costumes.
Yeah.
So basically, Brittany Lee, who is the costume designer for the movie, this is the most elaborate costume designs in Disney history. Like, as far as, I think, number...
Oh, as far as, like, people. I was like, these outfits are not that complicated, Joel. What are you talking about? Oh, okay. As far as, like, dressing people.
I think the concept, yeah. So
that makes sense, I guess. There's a lot of background characters in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Although I feel like there are just as many in Tangled, but
maybe the Tangled ones wore less costumes.
Maybe. I don't count every background character in the movie.
I don't really have an answer for you. I'm just spitting out information as if I did.
Okay, that's so good.
But
believe in yourself.
So the movie opens up with ice, which is appropriate.
Yeah.
So
this is the first instance of weird chanting. I don't know what language this chanting is in. I don't.
Norwegian?
I guess. Maybe.
I mean, I guess the movie takes place in Norway. There's too much Norwegian stuff in it.
But it's, like, not real Norway.
Okay, well, nothing takes place in real anything.
Nothing takes place in real Norway. It's like, what about documentaries about Norway, Joel? Does that take place in real Norway? No Disney movies take place in canonical places, I suppose. It's strange because they do this a lot where they're like, I really like this one place. We're going to base it on this one place. But then they don't really base it on this one place. So the chanting seems a little out of place and strange.
It's inspired by... I don't know. It's inspired by loosely.
It reminded me of some of the songs from Brother Bear.
Mm-hmm.
Which I really liked because they, like, purposefully sourced those from the right people to get those from. But I have no idea where these songs come from.
I don't know. We get a saw blade coming through that was clearly in 3D.
Yeah.
When this movie was in theaters.
I love how when movies are released in 3D and not 3D, when you watch it in not 3D, you're like, yeah, that was one of those things.
Yeah. And it's not, there's nothing else in this movie where I'm like, that would have been in 3D.
No.
And so
some of the snowman song kind of looks like that.
But yeah. And it's fine to be like
so
the first thing in the movie to be like
3D.
Yep. So, but yeah, that solid play was totally in 3D when you watched it in theaters, I'm sure. I didn't even watch it in theaters or in 3D when I watched it in theaters. But that solid play was definitely in 3D. So we come to we start with the people who provide ice for Arendelle.
God, this scene is so unnecessary. Like, it doesn't set up any cultural context, really, other than we cut ice to do ice that they don't even seem to mention what they use the ice for. And then, like, I guess it's so that you can see little Kristoff ahead of time, but he doesn't really do much in this song either. He is cute.
Yeah,
and
so
Tiny Sven is even cuter, but, like, it just seems totally unnecessary.
Well, it's, the big thing is, yeah, it doesn't, it's clearly there to make the movie Frozen be about ice and snow
ice
in the beginning.
But it's really,
because you need, you know, summertime to turn into winter, but you want to start with, you know, ice stuff, so you gotta go ice summer ice.
I feel like, though, there's a better way to do that. I feel like they could have done, you know, just stuff with the kingdom in snow, or some sort of backstory on the kingdom itself or something. I don't know. It just seems really, like, random because we never see anything related to this again. Like, Kristoff is there, but he doesn't cut any ice. I think his sled head might have some ice on it.
Does he live with these ice gatherers?
Well, say no. Because he, like, he talks about it later. I thought they were, like, yeah, I thought, like, you know, he's going with his dad on a take your kid to work day sort of thing. But no, it's implied that he's raised by the trolls, which is A, just plain old weird, and B, does it make sense? Like, why would this child have the supplies to go cut ice?
Well, okay, by the way, real quick, if you haven't seen Frozen, there's, like, Wreck-It Ralph big spoiler happening.
Yeah.
So stop it and go watch it and then come back.
Go away. And then come back.
Yeah.
Because we love you.
So, but there's, because, yeah, I have to jump forward to complain about things right now. when he meets the trolls there, that's his first meeting of the trolls.
Right.
So up until that point,
but
did
then,
he live alone in the woods with his reindeer?
I don't, where did he get his clothes? Why is this child provided with some sort of ice cutting and lifting tools and a sled?
So did I think the ice people abandoned him. They're like, you didn't pull your weight, small child.
He was just like, I don't like these ice dudes. I'm here to live with trolls. It's weird, and that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Mm. I don't know. I believe they abandoned him. So then we meet our main characters, which are Elsa and Anna, as small children.
Yes. They're so cute.
Yes.
They're so cute.
And so, Elsa has snow powers.
Yeah.
With no explanation, which is fine. Like, honestly, that's all I need.
You didn't need the context. You didn't need to know.
The chief troll asks, he's like, you know, is she born with it? And they're like, yep. I'm like, good. I'm with the plot. I
would have loved to see her as a baby wreaking havoc by, like, you know, trying to chew on things or tugging on her mom's hair or something.
Well, they said her powers have been getting stronger.
Right.
So I don't think, you know, that 6-year-old Anna could have built the ice castle on the side of the mountain.
I don't think so.
So, but they're playing in the snow, and
it's inside. Like, yes. She's, like, making snow inside, and they make a snowman.
And things...
And his name is Olaf, and he likes warm hugs.
And things go wrong.
Yeah.
Basically.
Anna's a little too reckless, and...
Yeah.
Elsa tries to, like, fix it, but it doesn't work. She misses and hits her.
Hits her in the head...
With icy, something that's not very well explained either.
That's not very well explained, but I didn't have a problem with it.
Well, it's weird because, like, sometimes she can clearly make things that are just like, I will hurt you with a spike of ice. Like, this is going to be painful for you because it is sharp. Yeah. But the both times she hits Anna, it's not that, and I don't really understand. If she can't control her powers, how does she differentiate? And on top of that, like, both are done as acts of kind of, like, desperation. But, like, other things are done as acts of desperation, too. It just doesn't make much sense. I do wish, you know, I don't really mind so much that she doesn't get, like, a baby with ice powers sort of story. Like, the origins of it aren't important to me. But it does bother me that they don't really talk about how these things work. Like, there's not a whole lot of good balance of, like, you know, she can make a big range of stuff, but it's not clear how.
See, and I don't really need that, though. I don't need, like, a, you know, quick chart here. It's like, oh, she's a level 8 on the mountain scale with her ice powers.
There's only, like, two places it bothers me. It doesn't bother me when she's, like, making ice stuff or making it snow or anything like that. It bothers me when she hits Anna, because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense in the context of she can make a snowball or she can make an icicle to stab you. But what the hell is that? Like, what did she do to Anna? I don't understand. And the other time, we'll talk about later, but it's the thing where she can imbibe things with life. That's weird.
Yeah, the sentient thing. We'll get to that one.
But it bothers me that they don't really, like, talk about it. Especially when they go to the trolls, and the trolls are like, oh yeah, she'll be fine. And I'm like, you know what this is, and you're not telling us, and it bothers me.
I think, like, she had... It's a power essence that becomes snow if it doesn't do, you know... So as long as,
something?
Like, yeah, because it starts off, she's like, you know, still manipulating the power, and then
when
it hits, it becomes the ice or the snow or the castle or whatever she's
making. Yeah, all the things.
So as long as, but so I think Anna's being hit with the essence still, which I didn't mind. I don't care, whatever. We've looked over bigger potholes before. That's wind.
True. Wind.
It's still not the wind.
I don't think we've looked over the wind, Joel. I don't think that counts as overlooking that problem.
I'm just saying.
No, I agree.
That's the measuring stick for me.
It's I agree.
Did the wind teach somebody a language? No. Good movie.
Yep.
So
she gets hurt.
But fortunately, the dad has a secret map to some trolls.
You know, in a book, written in runes, casually in his study. I don't know.
Yeah, it was very Lord of the Rings. And it was intentionally very Lord of the Rings. Like, they said, like, it was this map intentionally looks like the map in the book of The Hobbit. And so it's...
That's cute.
You know, very looking like... By the way, just to go ahead and mention it, because there's a ton of snow in this movie, and there's no real good place to, like, slip this in, because there's snow all the time.
All the time.
They, of course, made new technology.
To snow, you know.
Yes, so, So software engineers, they're talking about basically they use just some minor physics and advanced mathematics with the help of computer program. And the assistance of four mathematics researching unit at the University of California to create a snow simulator called Matterhorn.
Minor physics. That's funny.
So, well, I mean, they brought in a professor who gave lectures on how, like, snow and ice forms and why, you know, how snow is, like, unique and stuff.
That's
so
cool.
That they could, you know, figure out how different people move through snow, especially, like, with different types of attire. She's wearing, like, a skirt and how mm-hmm. that moves the snow, how pants move the snow, what snow does with sleds versus hooves and all that kind of stuff. There is sometimes a quote that every single snowflake rendered in this program is unique, which is not true.
Yeah.
There's only 2,000 unique snowflakes.
Oh, well then.
So.
It's pretty lazy.
Yeah. Step it up next time, Jamie.
Next time you have to animate a movie with so much snow.
So, no. But yeah, Secret Map to Trollland.
Yes.
And
go visit the trolls. Kristoff is there. Kristoff follows them.
Yes. He follows them. And
for reasons.
Okay, there is like a horse that's making everything turn
to
ice.
Oh, yeah.
Like
I forgot there
that.
Was
so
icing.
He's totally reasonable for following. And so he's peeking and then, you know, oh, the trolls are little rock trolls. And the trolls are adorable.
They're pretty cute. They look kind of like the trolls that were big in the 80s, the little toys that had the fluffy hair.
Mm-hmm.
They look kind of like those. Well, a little less scary.
They look like rocks.
Well, yeah, but when they're... you know, people-y shaped.
Yeah.
They look a little like those.
And so then one of the trolls spots Sven and Kristoff and says, "You're cute and I'm going to keep you." And this is a major plot point.
Apparently.
So it should turn out. Like, that was kind of, oh, okay.
Weird.
So, so the chief troll.
Chief troll.
King troll. Whatever he is.
Troll king.
Lead troll.
Head troll.
He makes Anna forget that there is magic, that Elsa is magic, that she can make snow.
Yep.
Because he has troll magic.
Yep.
His magic trumps born with ice magic.
I don't know why. Because of reasons.
And again, I don't need to
know
that.
Maybe because he's old.
Yeah, like he's a better wizard.
Yeah.
Like that's the other thing. Like, you know, this magic beats that magic because it's magic and that's fine. Doesn't bother me at all. And I don't know exactly what he's doing to unfreeze her brain, but...
Yeah. He says in this scene, and again when Anna gets hit, like, that it's easier to fix the brain than it is the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like in a medical setting that's backwards. And I don't really understand... okay.
Well, in a Frozen setting... In the kingdom of isolation.
So dumb. That was so catchy. He does say, what I found interesting, this was my second watching, what I found interesting was he has a line that says, fear will be your enemy, is what he says to Elsa. And I thought it was really interesting because, at the time I didn't really think about it, but like, I don't think that means what they thought it meant. Like, you know, her parents were like, all right, everybody's afraid of you. And like the way it's depicted even was like her scaring people. And you know, that's definitely a problem. I get
mm-hmm.
that. But I think it was more implied like your own fear is going to cause you trouble. Like that's not going to help you in life.
No.
Which I thought was really interesting because I didn't pick up on it the first time through.
This movie is definitely worth like a second watch. There's a lot of stuff picking up. I picked up on that too that second time. Was yeah. So
mm-hmm.
watch it again. so they agree to never tell Anna about the snow powers. For fear that it will like re-trigger her memory.
I don't know. I don't really understand why he took the memories away in the first place, because like that just seemed unnecessary. It didn't seem like it was something he was doing to help. It seemed like he was doing something as, like, a preventative measure.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, like... It just, like... I don't see how fixing her brain and taking away her memories were connected.
I can get that. I don't know why new memories are bad.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I guess it was just the parents' decision. They have terrible parents, by the way. This whole next, like, 20 minutes is just, like, parenting, you're doing it wrong. It's pretty bad.
Yeah, and it was... Well, it was really interesting, because it was parents trying to do good.
Yeah, the intention was there.
Loved their children, and were doing what they thought was best for their children. And just were wrong.
they just did the wrong thing.
And, like, basically. That's so much more complicated than Wicked Stepmother.
It's true. Especially coming from, like, Tangled. That was just out and out, like, you know, Mother Gothel's just terrible. These parents are not terrible people. They just don't... They're put in a situation they didn't know how to handle. They felt that they couldn't tell anyone, so they didn't have any other outside input.
Yeah.
And they really screwed up their lives and their children's lives, which is awkward. But it's a nice step, I think, for Disney, who tends to paint people good and bad.
Well, to be fair, I'm not sure they screwed up their lives. I think they would have boat crashed either way.
Perhaps, yes. Also, side note, Mom doesn't talk. Their mother does not talk the whole time. She stands around in, like, every scene, but their dad does the talking.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. It's weird that she's there but silent. I mean, they could have easily just cut her out of the movie. She didn't even need to be there. Everybody has dead moms in Disney movies.
I think it's a don't want to have to pay another voice actor situation.
I guess so, but they could have not had to pay another animator. Yeah. Or as much.
So, yeah, then we go through, do you want to build a snowman?
Oh, the song is sad and also catchy, which is the most terrible combination. It's like, Mulan's Girl Worth Fighting For. Because you get to the end of the song and you're like, oh, dead village. And you get to the end of this song and you're like, oh, sad sisters. Dead parents. It's bad. I mean, it's also very good, but it's sad.
It is. And the children grow up.
I liked the development of their personalities in this sequence a lot. I liked Joan of Arc. That's my favorite line in this entire thing. It's just, hang in there, Joan! You don't know what happened to Joan of Arc. But it's sweet and it's sad, and I feel bad for Elsa.
Yeah.
And then their parents die.
And then their parents die via boat crash. Boat sink.
Boat crash, boat sink.
And so, it's sad. I really like, I mean, it's sad, you know, heart-wrenching stuff, but there's the scene where Elsa's sitting with her back to the door.
It's just all ice.
And it's just a, I don't know, it conveys, you know, you got it pretty quick that, oh, emotion is what makes the snow uncontrollable, and it's, you know... Yeah, it's sad scene.
It's really sad.
And it's a way that they're able to convey the feelings of this person. And it's sad. By the way, yeah, through this song, we do get to the adult versions of these characters, which are voiced by Kristen Bell and Idina Menzel. And it's so hard to not say Christian Chenoweth.
Yep.
So, but Idina Menzel actually auditioned for a role in Tangled and didn't get it.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
But her audition was recorded, and so that was also her audition for Frozen, as it turns out. They just listened to her Tangled audition, and that they got the Frozen part. And this is actually her third time being a Disney animated character.
Enchanted
when she was herself, but animated
basically at the end. Yeah.
And she was also in the television series of Hercules, where she was the speaking and singing voice of the sorceress Circe.
I did not know she was Circe.
So.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So, Dina Menzel's been all up into Disney stuff.
Well, you know, coming from Broadway, it's a good transition.
Yeah, nice.
You guys think something? All right, then.
And so then it's Coronation Day.
Yes, it's 3 years later.
Mm-hmm. 3 years later, Coronation Day.
How old are they supposed to be?
They are 18 and 21.
Elsa's supposed to be 21?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Hans is 23.
Weird.
You can look up their ages. Weird. They just mentioned it in some interview or something. But yeah, they're the oldest Disney characters.
Wait. Ever. How old was Flynn? Because I remember we talk about them having like a creepy age difference. Wasn't he supposed to be like 25?
I don't remember how old Flynn was.
I remember he was supposed to be like way old. I mean, like I'm 25. I'm way old, you guys. No, I mean, I remember that he was supposed. I remember thinking like, oh, he is too old for her. I can't remember how much age difference it was. That's interesting. Okay.
So they open up the castle because the castle's been basically closed.
Yeah.
Off to the world this whole time. I like this song.
Yeah, First Time in Forever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really like this song. It's a very Disney song.
It is a very Disney song.
That duck makes a noise that's not quite a duck.
Yes.
We rewound this thing like 3 times.
We had to rewind this to listen to the duck.
She like picks up a duck. I don't remember this when I first watched it at all, but
this is another reason you should have watched the movie at this point.
Because ducks.
Because if you hear the phrase, she picks up a duck.
It's a duckling. They're little ducks. But she's like singing and she does a Disney princess thing where she like picks up a small animal or whatever and she's singing to ducks and this duck makes a noise. And at first I thought it sounded like a chicken, but that was a little too much, no. But it's at least a goose. It's not a duck and it bothers me. It's just my feelings this scene, I guess. But I do like it. It's cute. It's a cute song.
Yeah. Also, there's a quick, you can see Rapunzel
and Flynn. They're coming in.
To watch the coronation. Yep. So you can see them real quick.
I have seen that the director of Tangled had no idea they were doing that.
He did not.
No, nope. Somebody shared that with him. He was like, oh, I didn't know they were doing that. That's nice. That's really cute.
And then we meet Hans.
Yes. There is a bit of Elsa singing that song too, yes, at the end. And being really freaked out. Yes, Hans. Hans is so suave. Most suave.
He is so, I don't know, sincere in his charmingness, I guess.
Yeah.
No, he's not. Because he does. It's a very klutzy, you know, sweet, adorable introduction.
Yep.
Where he's still very, you know, proper and well-mannered and
things, yes.
He has a horse.
It matches all the other horses. So, all the horses from his country match. It's weird.
I don't know. I really like this scene.
I did too. Matching it scene. Is a nice
and it is cute. Sweet.
Yes.
And so, they go to the coronation.
There's more weird chanting.
And Elsa has to take off her gloves for the coronation.
Which is weird.
And I'm really curious, like, it's to, you know, heighten dramatic
tension. Yeah, basically. It's just supposed to be, like, problematic for her. But it's weird because, like, traditionally royalty wears gloves, so it's not really... she's got to pick up the orb and the scepter. Also, her crown is really small.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds strange, but, like, you know, traditionally when, like, royalty has a set of crowns, typically. If you're the king or queen, you've got, like, your every day I have to go to a fancy occasion, I need to wear a crown, but doesn't weigh, you know, 4 tons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have your coronation crown, which typically weighs 4 tons, has 7 diamonds the size of your fist, and you wear it only for coronations. So it's weird that her crown is just this little tiara. Like, did her dad wear that crown too? Just dink! It's very girly, so it's kind
of
weird.
Her dad's crown is probably at the bottom of the ocean.
Oh, that's nice, Joel. Thanks. I'm just saying, they should have, like, a family
maybe
set.
Maybe that's why they have a backup little crown.
Well, her mom would have had to. Oh, that would be awesome.
Guess where that is.
Oh, awkward. Yeah, it just seems weird that it's so tiny.
She has to throw it away later,
I guess. It's true, I guess so. I wonder if she has to go back and find that.
Well, she can probably make one out of ice.
Yeah, that's true. But, like, that's probably a long-time family heirloom. It's probably worth a lot of money. Maybe Anna would want it. I don't know. It just seems like kind of a waste.
I don't know.
Yeah, but she has to take her gloves off to take the orb and the scepter.
Mm-hmm. And so then they're having a party post-coronation party reception.
Yeah.
And Anna is late for it.
I don't know why.
I'm like, where was she? Why is she, how is she late for this? Didn't everybody move in mass here?
I don't.
Apparently not.
Maybe it works like a wedding reception where there's like an hour between them for people to get coronation paintings done or something. And, you know, it's awkward. Nobody shows up at the same time. And
I don't know. But so, yeah, she's there and they have a nice sisterly moment. To show that they could have gotten along in another life, basically.
Yes, it's cute.
And also,
this is the first scene we really see them together since they were little, mm-hmm. and you can see how much they look like each other.
Yes.
Because separately, that's not as obvious.
But is this the first time they've spoken in, like, 3 years?
I don't know. Like, I feel like they would both be, like, absolutely insane by this point if they didn't speak to anybody. Maybe they just talk to servants. Like, I mean, Anna's been talking to, like, paintings and things, so I don't know.
And that's the thing, like, 3 years is a long time.
Especially when your parents have died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know.
That's weird.
But yeah. And so then, so we've met, but then returns the Duke of Wesselton.
It's Alan Tudyk.
Yes, it is.
It's delightful.
And so he dances with Anna.
That was also delightful.
He also, he has, like, the grace of a chicken and the strength of a, he says something like that, whatever.
Yeah.
But when he says the word chicken, he does the chicken dance from Arrested Development.
Yep. Yep.
And then they do finish each other's sandwiches later, which is another Arrested Development joke.
Yep.
So there's Arrested Development, like, all shoved up in here.
This ballroom scene was kind of weird. This was the first time in this movie where it's like something doesn't look quite right. Like, a lot of this animation is really beautiful. The scene on, you know, like the Let It Go scene and the shots of the kingdom and all the snow and that sort of thing. But sometimes stuff just looks kind of rushed and, like, lumpy is not the word I'm looking for. It just looks like unfinished almost. And the ballroom scene in particular bothers me about that. Like, especially women's dresses look like really just half done, which is really strange, especially considering how much they focused on that sort of, like, little detail in their previous movies. So it's kind of weird, but that's the first time this comes up for me. And there's a couple other things that are weird with clothes later on. I'm not really sure why. It's like they don't have any texture to them or something. Like, it's a weird, like, looks like a solid object should not be looking like a solid object problem. I don't know, it's strange. But there are black people in the scene. There are no main characters that are not white, but there are some in the ballroom, so that's nice, I suppose. They're doing slightly, ever so slightly better than Tangled.
Are they well dressed?
I mean, they're as lumpily dressed as the rest of the crowd.
Are they guests and not servants?
Yeah, they're guests and not servants, so that's something.
Alright. And then Hans re-enters and we get Love Is an Open Door.
I love this song.
Which is a fun song.
Oh my god, it's so catchy. It's so cute and fun.
And it's like, I don't know, that was like a all of Disney meet cute, fall in love, first date, like all like overly crammed into this song.
Yeah.
And like watching it the first time, I was like, oh, this is this is your first time writing a Disney song. You're just doing a paint by the numbers Disney song. Okay. It's like, fine. It's cute and fun. Whatever. And then like, oh, stuff happens later. And you're like, oh, that's why you did it. Because he's doing the, look at you.
Yep, yep.
You cleverness. Yeah, it's a fun song.
They get engaged. And then they go back and try and talk to Elsa about it. She's like, you're a dumb bitch. It's so good.
And then they go back and Elsa shatters Disney.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Like, Elsa doesn't know what kind of movie she's in.
It's true.
So, and then this...
They have a fight.
Yeah.
They get in an argument about it.
This upsets and reveals the magic. And
well, it's weird because Elsa has a line here where she says, like, why don't you just leave to Anna? And I'm like, why doesn't she just leave? She has been lonely and sad for, like, years now. She has plenty of money. Why doesn't she just go?
I don't know. Don't look at me.
Anywhere. Like, it just seems weird because she's so, like, energetic and outgoing that she wouldn't just be like, you know what? if she doesn't want me here, then I'm just not gonna be here. Like, there's...
Okay, there's probably some level of, like, need to be an adult, not an adult.
I guess so. But especially if they had that initial thing where she was, like, the spare princess. I feel like it would have made sense, character development-wise, for her to, after a while, be like, you know, I don't need to be here. I mean, need to be alone.
Her parents probably didn't pay her too much attention. They had a preoccupied, you know, superpowered child.
Even more that says to me that she would leave.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's a big, like, you know, where do you go? How much money do you take with you? Can you just, like, grab some, you know, silver candlesticks and make your way in the world?
She has royalty. She could just go stay with other royalty for indefinite periods of time, because that's how royalty works.
You just send a pigeon?
Yeah, basically.
Coming to stay with you?
Just give the, send a messenger. It'll be fine. She might be afraid of boats. But that doesn't make sense, because she's totally not afraid of boats later. So, I am afraid of the boat.
I don't know.
It just seems weird. Especially the fact that they, like, put that line in there. And I'm like, well, that's a good question. Do feel free to answer in either, you know, long essay format or...
So, it turns out, like, I just really want the perspective of the other people in this movie. And it's like, the queen can do what? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Especially, like, the servants. Like, they should have noticed by now.
Especially Hans. Who clearly had a plan and an agenda going here. And was just like...
Should have just immediately backpedaled and left.
I need to make an adjustment. To my course of action here.
Yep.
And just like, I really would love a, you know, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, like, retelling of this movie from Hans' perspective.
Would be so, like, good.
I need to, okay. So this is an unexpected development.
Yeah.
Let's regroup.
So in her argument with Anna, Anna takes her glove and it freaks her out a lot, and she accidentally ices some stuff. And then she freaks out more and runs away, and then more ice, and her essentially country nose now, which is really awkward. And she, like, runs across the water on the fjord. That was really beautiful animation. Yes. I like that a lot.
And she decides to live in the mountains forever.
Yes. She basically freezes the whole fjord. It's just, like, completely frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so Anna's like, all right. Sister's freaked out. We had an argument. I feel bad. I gotta go get my sister. So she gets on a horse. And then she's like, Hans is in charge of the kingdom. I'm like, wait a minute. There is some sort of due process here, first of all. I mean, second of all, like, there has to be somebody who, if they die, takes over. And whoever that would be to at the coronation. Like, some sort of uncle or second cousin or something. Somebody else who's in line for the throne. Because, like... You know, nobody has no relatives. That just doesn't make sense. I mean, I guess you could, but
if,
like,
she's still, like, if she declared somebody in charge, I think her declaration would trump.
But is that legal? Like, that doesn't seem legal to me if Elsa is still alive and she's still alive.
I mean, okay, so she didn't, like, new king now. She's, like, temporarily in charge. And, I mean, the big thing is, like, as a princess... In a kingdom that still has a queen, what does her statements have? What does she have to say? I mean, you know.
While she's not there.
And honestly, like, I think people are mostly just like, I'm cold in the fire. I'm not going to worry about this.
Yeah. It just causes problems later.
It does cause problems later.
It's weird that it works.
So then we get to Let It Go.
Yes. Everybody knows this song. Everybody's seen this scene 700 times. If you haven't seen the scene 700 times on YouTube, go watch it.
So, obviously, originally, Elsa was going to be the bad guy of the story.
Yes.
And it's basically, they played Let It Go, and they're like, well, this is a very appealing song, and it has themes of, like, personal empowerment and self-acceptance, and these are all very positive themes that it would make sense for the villain. We can't have the villain making these good points. So they just switched it around. So this song and this scene and the fact that Idina Menzel can sing this song and make it sound like that was a big turning focal point in the plot driving of this story.
That's cool.
So obviously it's very good.
Of course it is. It's beautiful. The animation's beautiful. Her dress is kind of weird in this one. The way she walks.
Very
strange.
It very much looks like, because of where it cuts, where it starts, or like where the song starts and stops, what the animation's doing, where the song starts and stops, it's like watching a music video, or it's like watching one of those like sing along with Disney song DVDs. Yeah. Because it's like, it's very much its own scene basically inserted right here in the movie. Like it starts with the like the sweeping shot of the mountain, and it ends with like the doors closing the way they do. Like, song is over now, doors closed.
We're done. Goodbye.
So there's no editing that needs to be done when the Sing Along with Disney Song DVD comes out.
It's true. It's perfect.
They just need to put the bouncing ball there.
Yep. I like the use of the word fractals.
I really like that there is this whole song called Let It Go about an ice queen and like a snowstorm, and they never rhyme go with snow.
They don't.
No.
Good for them.
I was really impressed.
They did use isolation, though.
I love isolation.
That is pretty impressive, though.
So, but it's a good song. Go listen.
On repeat for 7 years. That's what we've been doing.
I mean, I was writing it later. I was like, when they arrive at the castle, I'm like, what is Elsa doing in this castle all by herself? There's no TV. There's no, like, furniture. She hasn't made her ice furniture yet.
She's just...
So what do you do after you sing Let It Go and build a castle? And then I'm like, you probably sing Let It Go again, because it's stuck in your head now.
It's true. You probably sing it again and again and again. Yeah. So let me get... We go back to Anna, who falls off her horse, loses her horse, is very cold. She had on this, like, cute little cape that wasn't really doing much. She falls in some water and her skirt freezes, which I love. I love that animation where it's just like rock hard skirt. And she goes into the like trading post. What is that guy's name? The like trading post guy?
I wrote down Yoo-hoo Big Summer Blowout in my notes.
I just love him. He's so cute. Just such a cute little like in the movie for 5 minutes. Absolutely adorable and endearing character.
Yes.
And his little family in the sauna. And his family's so small compared to him, who's shaped like a tanker truck. It's so cute. And we meet Kristoff as a grown-up.
Yes.
We
saw like a 10-second thing of him as we panned over the kingdom earlier, but this is like...
Oh, right, yeah. Now he's actually like him. Yeah.
And so... And we meet Sven. By the way, the characters of Kristoff, Anna, Sven, and Hans are all named after Hans Christian Andersen. Because if you say it together really quick, it's Hans Kristoff and Sven.
No, God, that's awful. Oh, all right. Hans gets a little song here.
Reindeer are better than people.
It's his only song.
It was written because they realized they had Jonathan Groff voicing the character, and they didn't write him a song.
It's a really nice song. I mean, it's really dumb, but he's got such a nice voice that it's really nice, and also gets stuck in my head really easily.
So they panic wrote him a song, basically.
It's a good panic written song, considering. Also, he plays the lute? Mandolin? Yes. I don't know.
They also made, like, a... in the 90s where they do like the power ballad version. This was the song that they did the power ballad version of.
Beautiful.
That you can find on the CD so they could give Jonathan Groff an actual power ballad song to sing.
Yep, yep. So they agree, he agrees to take her to the mountain. And they're just like having a conversation. He just clearly thinks she's nuts. This is also one of those times, so there's a post going around Tumblr that I absolutely love. It's like a headcanon about how, similar to her sister, Anna got some powers, and her powers are super strength, but she doesn't know how to deal with it. So, like, whenever she touches people, like, she tries to be, like, playful and cute, she ends up just, like, smacking the crap out of them. This happened... a couple of times with Hans, where she, like, you know, he, like, bumps her shoulder, and she, like, rams him into a bush sort of thing. But they fight wolves here, and she, like, clubs one of them with a lute. And it's just, like, I can totally believe that Anna is, like, way stronger than she should be. She set something on fire. It's good. I like this scene a lot.
Kristoff is also flabbergasted that she got engaged to a person that she met on the first day. It's like all of Disney is pretending that Disney doesn't exist.
Basically, yes.
So, and then, yeah, wolves attack them because it's always wolves, even though it's only wolves, like, twice.
It's always wolves.
It feels like it's always wolves.
It's always wolves. I mean, they're such a, like, standard fairy tale animal, I think.
Yeah. And especially in snow and the woods and darkness.
Yeah, yeah. And they
travel in packs. You can't have 40 bears attack a sled.
Yeah! I would watch that movie. So they get to the, there's like a jump. There's always gonna be a jump, and they lose the sled. And then they make it to this, like, beautiful icy scene. That was really pretty. I liked this scene. And then they met Olaf, and I liked this scene a little bit less.
I'd like Olaf a lot.
I like Olaf okay. He's slightly less annoying than I thought he would be, because the trailers were awful. The character design is, like, so sad and lumpy. And it's just...
I like Olaf. I found him... Yeah, this was, and it was the character. You see that character in every Disney movie, and you're like, that's gonna be the character!
Yeah, and sometimes they work for me, and sometimes they really don't.
Olaf worked for me.
Olaf was alright. He was middle of the road. Again,
he wasn't whatever that little kid bear is in Brother Bear.
Coda.
Oh
my god, Coda was so annoying. But he also wasn't Rey, who was supposed to be terrible and ended up so endearing and wonderful. So, he's kind of middle of the road annoying sidekick for me.
I liked him. I thought he was funny.
He sings his little song about how much he wants to be in summer. And then Kristoff just got this line where he's like staring at him and Anna's staring at him and everybody's awkward. And he's just like, I'm going to tell him. It's the best line in this whole movie. For some reason, it just makes me laugh so hard every time.
So Olaf also dances with some seagulls, which looks like Mary Poppins. And looks like Mary Poppins.
With the boater hats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I also really like Kristoff does that, and then they all leave, and Kristoff's like, well, somebody's got to tell him. Yeah. Like, he's, like, legit worried.
Yep.
So, well, so this has to be acknowledged at some point. By the way, yeah, Olaf was brought to life somehow by magic.
Which is, like, briefly mentioned when they show up at the castle, but, like, it's weird.
Everybody's so, like, rolling with it.
It's weird.
And I feel like that's the big power we really need to discuss.
Yeah.
Because you brought life into this world.
Okay, so, like, Anna gets to the palace and she tries to talk to Elsa, and it doesn't really work. Elsa's just like, no, you gotta go away. I'm gonna hurt you. I don't wanna hurt you. And Olaf comes in obnoxious sidekick fashion after counting to 60. And...
because he was supposed to give her a minute.
Yes. And she's like... Anna's like, oh, this is Olaf. And Elsa's like, that's Olaf. She's like, I made you. And she makes this face like, that's weird. And then, like, moves on. I'm like, no, here's where you have the moment of, because that's weird. And they don't talk about it at all. And she makes another sentient thing later. The, like, abominable snowman dude.
Marshmallow.
That's right. His name is Marshmallow. And he's totally sentient. He talks. Mm-hmm. They both talk. They both clearly have, like, thoughts and feelings and can, like, you know, pick things up and walk around. It's weird that they do not talk about it.
Yes.
Other than to be like, that's strange.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We also take a quick cut back to Hans taking care of the town.
Oh, yeah.
And by the way, Hans does a really good job of making sure that all the people are cared for.
He's a pretty good temporary monarch, I must say.
He's definitely putting the needs of the people before his own.
He is literally giving people cloaks. Yeah, just handing them out and making fire and helping with things and mediating problems. He seems to be a fairly competent ruler.
So I don't know if, like, him taking over...
wouldn't have been really that bad.
This movie had gone south. It might have been okay.
Yeah. I mean, the kingdom probably would have survived.
Yeah, anyway. For the bulk of the people there, who don't really have any, you know, effect on the movie, yeah, they've probably been okay.
Yep. They get in a fight again, and Elsa...
Here's what I don't understand about this fight.
Okay.
So, you know, Anna's being like, oh, we can be friends again, and everything can go back to wonderful, and... you know, Elsa's getting ready to be like, yep. And then we do the flashback memory of like, oh, I hit you in the head with that ice that one time. And she's like, no, you can't. And I'm like, can you not tell her now?
Yeah, it seems weird that she won't talk about what happened when they were children.
Like, Anna knows that you can make snow.
So.
That secret's out of the bag.
Yeah, it would be, I don't know, it's just strange. And like, I didn't really like how this was a singing fight. It made it a little sillier than I think it needed to be.
Oh, I like the singing fight.
I mean, I like their singing. But I just took away from some of the seriousness to me in this, like, very serious conversation where she almost kills her sister.
There's also a problem with her talking about she turned Arendelle into Eternal Winter 9 hours ago.
It's been, like, maybe 9 hours.
But, like, I don't really have a problem with that because, like, she turned summer into winter. What do you think's going to happen during winter? Because the answer is more winter.
Maybe it'll suddenly be summer, no? I don't know.
Your seasons are going to go winter, falling winter, super winter, springy winter, winter.
Oh, is that how it goes?
Yes.
That'll be really boring calendars. Just snow on every page. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of an awkward choice of line, but it doesn't bother me that much. Not as much as the duck. So yeah, she hits Anna in the heart.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever that was.
It's no essence.
Yeah.
The essence of Frozen.
The essence of Frozen. And then she like doesn't really notice it, I guess, and she just like makes Marshmallow and has him carry them out.
Now, Marshmallow is the name of the giant abominable snowman that mm-hmm. is now guarding. Was originally going to be a giant Olaf.
Oh, God. Thank God it wasn't.
That Olaf was going to call him little brother the whole time. Because Olaf is older than Marshmallow.
No. I'm really glad it was something else entirely.
And the official statement from the studio is it's cute and kind of funny, but ultimately looked a bit dumb.
A bit.
And scenes like the siege of the ice castle would have been pretty strange had they gone this round.
Yep.
Which I understand. But I wouldn't have loved to see, like, I wish they'd gotten to, like, at least a test animation point of giant Olaf.
Yep. So, they jump off a cliff.
Yes. Oh, no, here's the favorite Olaf line is, because he falls apart a lot in the movie.
Yeah.
And so he's running after them and, like, tried to put himself back together and all his pieces are in the crevice.
Oh, this one.
And he goes, I'm out of shape. Because he's out of shape. And it's the dumbest line. And I love it.
Dad jokes.
Oh, it was such a dad joke. I loved it.
So, yeah, they jump off a cliff to get away from the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, it's like Krista realized that she's hurt or something.
She's getting colder.
Oh, yeah, so
it's time to go to the trolls.
Oh, her hair changes. That's mm-hmm. what it was.
Her hair's turning white.
So they go to the trolls. And this entire scene is so unnecessary.
You never fix her up?
I love this song. But it's, like, they haven't known each other any longer than Hans and she has, so I don't know why it's less weird.
It's not less weird, but it's still funny. And it's not like they actually get married at the end.
That would be weird.
So, and then they were both being like, no, this is weird.
Yeah, I know.
But and the trolls are being like, don't got time for this, sing a song time.
Everything with the trolls was pretty much useless to me. And, like, they were kind of cute, but, like, I feel like if you had cut them out, I wouldn't have been sad.
I'm sorry, was this movie too long for you?
No, it wasn't too long, but I feel like they could have done something else with my time than trolls. But I did like the song. It was friggin' catchy.
I thought it was fun, and I like the song, and la-da-doo-da.
Fine.
Then Hans attacks the castle.
Well, they actually talk to the trolls.
Okay.
And they...
You have more to say about the trolls.
Well, just, you have an act of true love. So they're trying to get back, they're going back to the kingdom to kiss Hans.
Noticed at this time that they say that it has to be an act of true love, and then a different troll is the one that says, maybe true love's kiss?
Yeah.
Like, the one that's not helpful. And I'm like, because I get it, right on. Old troll knows what's up, but we have to learn for ourselves.
Yeah. So Hans goes to find Elsa. He gets the Ice Palace way too fast.
No.
I've heard people make jokes before about Elsa getting to the castle really quickly and Anna taking a long time. That clearly was a different way. Like, there is definitely some sort of different path happening there. And on top of that, Elsa took a shortcut across the fjord by walking on ice. And she can probably walk a lot faster on ice because she probably, or on snow, because she probably doesn't sink in it. Which is, you know, like, the most important, annoying part of snow. Basically Legolas. Blonde, walks on snow, it's good. but this doesn't make any sense to me, because he literally gets there in, like, less than an hour. And, like...
He doesn't lose his horse.
He doesn't lose his horse, but his horse would have just as hard of a time going through snow. So I don't...
He'd go twice as fast, he has twice as many legs.
Twice as many legs. Okay, it's kind of weird, because he gets up there, like, real fast. And then...
But then he kills Marshmallow.
He does kill
Marshmallow. And I feel so bad.
I am sad about Marshmallow. He's the only real, like, character death in this film other than the parents.
And, like, he does his job.
He's a good abominable snowman. Mm-hmm. Well, if it helps, Olaf has been severely injured many a time and turns out okay. So maybe Marshmallow's okay, Joel.
I hope so. But he just, like, he got straight up snow killed there.
He did. It's true. So there's a fight. The fight scene's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Lots of ice and arrows, and that's fun.
And then Hans saves the queen.
Yeah, this is weird. And this is why the twist is so surprising, because, like, every single thing points to, like, he's an okay guy.
Mm-hmm.
This, especially on second watch, was like, what is he doing? And I assume he just wants to do this in... as good a light as he possibly can. Especially because I don't think it wasn't his guards that tried to kill her. Mm. It was
the Weaselton.
Weaselton. That guy's guards. So I think he just wants to be, you know, the savior. He wants to be like, oh, I'm taking pity on her sort of thing. But it does seem weird.
But like, if he, like, you know...
It would be a lot easier for him to just be like,
maybe right. Did, like, a stage trip or something and didn't get to the arrow quite as fast. Like, you guys saw me try. I tried real hard.
But, you know, also, you probably can't kill one of the princesses in your movie, Joel. That probably isn't a solid marketing decision.
With detachable arrow, it'd be an action figure gimmick.
That's awful, Joel.
So
yeah, he takes her back to the palace or whatever, to the dungeon. Is it a separate building or is it in the palace?
I assume it's the palace dungeon.
Yeah. He chained her up with oddly specific chains that, like, completely cover her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, first of all, I don't know why they thought that would work. And second of all, where did they get these? This isn't standard issue manacle nonsense. This is, like, weirdly specific. So I'm curious if this has happened before and they just aren't talking about it. If her parents were like, oh, crap, it's that great-great Uncle Milty thing. I don't want that great-great Uncle Milty thing to be in my family. So I don't...
You think somebody, like, goes out of the, like, years later, they've all had these mysterious, like, candy clamp things? Yeah. Like, oh, that's why!
Yeah.
Because sometimes snow powers.
It's like Man in the Iron Mask, weirdly specific. Like, why do you need this thing? So, yeah, that was odd. And Anna gets back.
Yes.
And Christoph just, like, leaves her there? That was really weird, because, like, he just leaves her at the gates to the kingdom, too. He doesn't even go straight to the palace with her. He's just like... Bye. And I'm like, you could walk with, you could stay with, she's ill, it would be good for you to stay with her, but okay, fine.
We get the big twist, the big reveal that...
This is so good. It's so good! I mean, like, terrible, but, like, really well done.
But here's the thing, like, so, why doesn't he kiss her? Like... He doesn't love her, so what does he think? He's not at risk of accidentally saving her.
That's true. Because Disney doesn't want you to think that people kiss people they don't love.
And...
Probably.
And... So what if he loves her and, like, he still gets to be king?
That's true.
He still gets to king Trump her queendom.
That's true. Well, no. That's not true, actually. It depends on the monarchy. Most queens... Or, like, in a more modern setting, queens get to decide whether or not the people they marry have power.
I don't think this was a modern set movie.
No, I don't think so.
I think this might have been a few years ago.
Probably, yes.
You can tell by the fashion choices that the characters have.
But if a queen can reign by herself, then there's no reason for his monarchy to trump hers.
Okay, whatever. He still gets to be king.
Less power, I guess.
Why doesn't he kiss her?
I don't know, because it's...
Jasmine kisses Jafar. There's president. Does.
That was gross. I don't know, Joel. I don't know. It is weird. But I do like this scene. And
I feel like if you waited, you know, 4 more minutes.
Yeah, just 10 minutes.
She's close.
Just sit there and watch her watch while she dies slowly. It'll be fine. But, okay, he goes in the other room and he's like, we had just enough breath left to finish our wedding vows. Like, there's no proof of that. There's no reason for him to be in charge at all.
I do have, this is why there has to be a witness in all.
Yeah, okay. It's true. There's no proof of this. The only authority he had was Anna being like, he's in charge while I'm gone. And like, A, she's back. And B, that's not a legally binding contract. That's a vague reference while riding away on a horse. And there should be a clear heir there who's not one of them. There should be another royal family member who could take it.
And let's say that, you know, he's like, you know, yes, in our secret room all by ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, the, you know, we got married and she's dead and can't disprove me. And the whole king is like, yep, works for me. Did you get married to the princess and the queen still alive?
Yep.
Any other situation where, like, the prince was like, I decree the queen dead. Nobody's like, well, okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, he's like, we're going to have to kill her because of treason. And I'm like, I don't think that's quite...
She can't treason herself. She's right, in charge.
Right. And on top of that, I don't think that's quite treason. I would go with murder. Murder is a good reason, but like, I kind of... There's no legal sense to this at all, really. Awkward.
Hans does not have an actual plan here.
No, he's just kind of winging it.
Hans is definitely by the seat of his pants.
Yes, yes. And then Elsa escapes.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, she has ice powers that are controlled by her hands. Do you really think that putting her hands in things will help? Because no, that's stupid. Also, she can clearly do magic without her hands. So.
Yep. She stomped her foot for some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep. Olaf finds Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow. I don't know. He does. And, okay, I don't understand why this scene doesn't constitute as an act of true love. Olaf lights a fire, and he's willing to die. He's willing to melt for his friend. And that doesn't count as an act of true love? What? That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even like Olaf that much, but this is clearly a grand enough gesture to merit her not freezing anymore.
I don't know, maybe because he said, but maybe not right now.
I don't know! That's just
maybe he just had to get that one last funny joke in.
Especially because he has that line that says, like, some people are worth melting for. Like, how is that not love? I don't understand.
My explanation is that Anna herself had to make the act of true love.
Oh, okay.
And that's what we didn't know.
Okay.
That's why, no, if she had kissed Kristoff, that wouldn't have worked either.
Right.
Because she herself had to perform an act of true love.
Okay.
To warm her heart.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe. But I still feel like this would be nice. Alright. So, Anna manages to get strong enough to go out to find Kristoff because Olaf is like, oh yeah, Kristoff's coming. by the way, and there's a big...
It's like this four-way showdown in the ice and snow, and yeah. It's hard to see, and...
There's boats everywhere. Boats that Anna might be terrified of. I don't know.
Frozen fjord thing.
Yeah.
And so...
Kristoff's trying to get to Anna. Anna's trying to get to Kristoff. Hans is trying to kill Elsa. He tells Elsa that Anna is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And... then the snow stops.
He's trying to
panic, I guess.
He's trying to kill her, and she's just trying to get away.
Yeah.
So, she stops the snow, and Anna, and that has to be the act of true love, is her not going, it's the sacrifice that she doesn't go, she goes right. To save, and turns into total ice, which I feel swords should cut pretty solidly.
Magic ice.
Or shatter. Or whatever.
Yeah. No, that is kind of weird.
Bad sword.
And she sacrifices herself for her sister, mm-hmm. which I think is really, really nice. I do really like that, because, first of all, most Disney princesses don't even have friends who can talk to them, so that's nice. But it's especially nice that, you know, they're sisters, they're family. Disney princesses don't have family. That's absurd. So it's really nice. I liked it a lot. It was, I think it was much better than, like, oh, he kisses her and we're done, all right.
And it's nice in this one when they, you know, like, I mean, that'll straight up squash true love, but they squash love at first sight, and they, yeah. Nope, that's not a thing, let's...
And, you know, it's rare in movies that non-romantic love is played as just as important as romantic love. So, yeah. It was nice. And then, for some... Okay, so, like, Elsa's obviously very distraught. First of all, her sister was alive. Second of all, her sister is now dead again. It's gotta be a lot to take in the past 7 seconds.
This is a roller coaster of emotion here.
Yes. So she hugs her, and she turns back to regular Anna, and then Anna explains that it had to be an act of love, and Elsa's like, oh, love, of course! All right, let me fix this! And I'm like, wait a minute. There's, like, no reason that this should make sense to her as to, this is how you fix ice! But apparently it does, and she
love melts the frozen heart. Love melts the frozen fill in the blank.
Love melts the frozen fjord. So she fixes it, and that's nice. So yeah, everything's not frozen anymore. Mm-hmm. Which makes the title a little silly. Don't you feel foolish now, title?
The title's about the bulk of the movie. They are at peace at the end of Star Wars.
And they're, thank God, as this is that's funny. As this is unfreezing, they are conveniently standing on an actual, like, ship.
Yes.
On the deck, because...
Otherwise they all get wet.
Yeah, otherwise they might drown. Let's be serious here.
They probably didn't take swimming lessons.
Yeah, and...
After the thing happened.
And after that, you know, like, they're all wearing winter clothing, which kind of weighs a lot. Anyway, So they fix everything. Anna punches Hans off the boat. That was nice. Another display of Anna is weirdly strong, which I like. They go back to the kingdom, and everything's hunky-dory, and Hans gets shipped off to the Southern Isles.
Yeah, there's a lot of delightful wrap-up. Hans is going to get punished by his brothers.
Oh, God.
Which I think is super cool. And then, like, he doesn't come from an evil family. He's just a jerk.
Yep.
And because those are out there sometimes, and, like, he's just going to be 12 upstanding royalty and be like, no! Stop it!
Yep. And then,
Alan Tudyk, Weaseltown, Wesselton guy... basically, his entire town gets punished.
Which is weird. Like, he didn't really do anything. I mean, he went along with Hans's plan, but so did everybody else.
He made a special order to have the Queen killed.
I guess so, yeah. But who knows about that?
Those guys?
I guess those guys.
Maybe they defected. To, you know, the one with superpowers.
That's probably a good idea.
The one that can make sentient snow armies of abominable snowmen.
In his defense, she's, like, almost destroyed an entire kingdom, so, like, trying to kill her isn't that bad. But she's the main character, so it's the worst.
New sleds are bought.
Anna and Kristoff kiss. Mm-hmm. It's cute.
Olaf gets his own little snow cloud so he can
enjoy summer. And Elsie gets to make some snow for funsies, which is nice.
Yes.
They go ice skating. Anna's terrible at ice skating. And that's pretty much it.
And so, if you watch throughout the credits, there's a disclaimer at the end of the credits where, like, the no animals were harmed kind of stuff usually goes, that says the views and opinions expressed by Kristoff in the film that all men eat their own boogers are solely his own, and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the Walt Disney Company nor the filmmakers.
That's so good.
So, I like that.
That's good.
It was a good movie.
It's good.
Really good movie.
It was very good.
So, they're making good movies right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's kind of the thing. It's like, yeah, it's good. You just can watch another one every year.
Basically, yeah. I mean, there were some parts of it that I thought were kind of unnecessary. And there was some weirdness sometimes that was just like, what? Can we talk about the sentient being thing?
Yeah, the sentient being thing. It's not the wind. It's the close.
It's close. But I enjoyed it overall.
But at least it's magic.
Yeah.
I mean, so that is the thing where they can technically just say it was magic, and it's always magic, and so magic makes magic.
Magic and magic.
So,
yeah.
So next time, another Disney film that was released on DVD the same day as Frozen was Saving Mr. Banks, which was the behind the scenes, never before told, blah, blah, blah story of Mary Poppins.
Mostly made up story. Mary Poppins is right.
So, we want to do that one, but we can't do that one without doing Mary Poppins.
Gotta do Mary Poppins.
So, next time we'll be doing Mary Poppins.
Yay.
And then we'll transition that into Saving Mr. Banks.
Yay.
So, until next time, bye guys.
Bye everybody. Bothered me anyway.